from. Summer Face Takeover, BBC Radio 1 and BBC Radio Winter. Let's go!
The Drum and Bass Review Show with DJ Bailey.
Jam and Zane Lowe for kicking off our 10-hour drum and bass takeover here on BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra. A brilliant start, I must say. Lots of big tunes in there. That last one, well, a favourite of mine. Probably a little bit rinsed, but I still like it. Right now it's Bailey from the 1 Extra Drum and Bass Show, which happens every Wednesday usually. 10 to 1 in the mornings when it takes place. Tonight, however, it's a bit different. It's drum and bass takeover. I'm joined by key players in a 1-hour roundtable discussion to talk about drum and bass. My panelists include Shyfex, one of the most noted anthem makers in drum and bass. Yes, oh yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
We've also got DJ Storm, known as the First Lady of Drum and Bass, who won Best Female DJ at National Drum and Bass Awards 2010, so obviously still doing very well.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. You're right.
Nice to be here.
We've got Adam F, a highly regarded producer in drum and bass, also has worked in hip-hop as well, alongside artists like Redman, LL Cool J, Missy Elliott, Dead Prez, Carl Thomas, and the legendary Guru, who's just recently passed away, R.I.P. You're right, Adam.
That's right. Good to be here.
Yeah, nice to see you. Good to have you, mate. And we have MC Tali, New Zealand-born MC, brought to fame, spotted by Ronnie Size. Even though I spotted you before that. I was on tour. And yeah. It's all good. I'm glad you guys all made it here tonight. I really appreciate you coming.
Thanks for having us.
Let's not forget as well, not only is this show going out live on BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra, but it's also being Ustreamed live online on the Ustream website. If you want more details on that, go to bbc.co.uk/1extra. Right, tonight we're going to talk about a few things. We've only got an hour. I don't think it's going to be enough time, really. But we're going to be talking about the success of drum and bass. That's one topic. We're going to be talking about women in drum and bass. Something that Tali and Storm might really want to talk about there. And we're going to talk about the art of DJing versus showmanship as well. Now, you can get involved, anyone listening right now, if you have, you think you've got anything you want to add to this, by texting 81199, or you can email bailey@bbc.co.uk. Once again, that's 81199 if you want to text in, and you can email bailey@bbc.co.uk. Right, that's them two bits of paper out of the way. Right, you know, I want to start off by saying that usually in the past when I've seen these kind of discussions going on, it's the air is filled with lots of whining and moaning about drum and bass. But I think, to be honest, we've got a lot to celebrate, you know?
Totally.
We're talking about a music scene that survived for 20 years without the major backing of commercial, you know, support. People still want to big up punk and talk about how great that was. That's kind of over now. We're still here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we have been had a great longevity in our scene, and I don't know whether any of us really thought in the beginning we would have this long. Do you know what I mean? But we truly believed in it as a new form of music, and I think that's what pulled us through, really.
Yeah, and you know, we we were all way more exportable than garage. I mean, there's places that, you know, I'm not putting down garage, but I'm talking about the strength of drum and bass. And garage is all over the TV with big commercials, big compilations coming out and stuff. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not putting anyone down for it at all.
Well, I think the other thing as well, we didn't have a lot of good press in the beginning either, you know, and I think a lot of the press kind of tried to tie us in with a whole drug scene, or, you know, not such good scenes. And I think we survived with no press really in the beginning, you know, until a few people maybe blew up, you know, like Goldie, like Shy, for example, you know, who kind of, you know, hit the media. I think drum and bass for a long time wasn't really even seen, yet it was quite huge, you know, and we were already travelling to different parts of the world with it, but it just wasn't realised.
Okay, I want to ask Adam F, how do you feel about the success of drum and bass over the last 20 years?
How do I feel about the success?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've done well.
Well, it's still here, and that's a good thing. You know, that track that you said had been rinsed at the beginning, that takes me back to days of those that are listening that may or may not remember Equinox and Voodoo Magic and those kind of raves. And back then, I was actually doing the door. I was doing the guest list whilst getting my making tunes at home and hoping that groove, or Andy would play it, and while I'm on the door, I'd suddenly slam some on the folder and then run downstairs to hear if my tune was getting played, because I didn't get played.
I actually remember you working in Section 5. Is that a record shop?
That's right, yeah. I worked behind the counter of Section 5 Records, which is part of Moving Shadow back in the day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is an old school label, for those of you that are very new school out there. Mm. And so, you know, for coming through as a producer, I started grassroots, so to speak, work experience, you know, doing the door, working in the record shop. And so to be a part of that at the beginning and then see it now in 2010, it's awesome. So it is, yeah, it's definitely
still going strong. I don't see anything slowing down at all. A man who's got a lot of experience in drum and bass, definitely. He's worked with all kinds of artists. Mr. Shy FX.
Hello,
as far as I can remember, one of the earliest big tunes in Jungle was made by you. Original Nutter featuring UK Apache.
Yeah.
Big classic. I mean, you've seen a lot of changes. Can you tell me about some of the stuff that you've seen in comparison, like, to now?
I think the difference is, so back in the day, we didn't really know what we were doing. We're just, you know what I mean? We're just experimenting with breaks. We're just vibing. There was no format. There was no structure to it. We're just having a good time, linking up with other people and trying to impress each other, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone knows or thinks they know what drum and bass is supposed to be. So there's a format, you know, even down to the length of the intro, to the drop, whatever.
Mm.
And a lot of people making drum and bass grew up on drum and bass, where we didn't, you know, we made it. We didn't know what it was supposed to sound like. So that's one of the main differences I see from back in the day.
I think far gone are the days when you kind of went down the pressing plant and you, you know, you took your dat and they pressed up your box of records and you took your boxes around record stores with an invoice and you go back the following week to see if you made money.
Yeah.
It's kind of very more business oriented now than before. It's kind of a freestyle thing. You just made it to tune because you want someone to feel the vibe of what you was making.
Yeah.
Is that something that you could relate to, Tali?
What, making a tune that people can relate
just,
to?
Well, just, I mean, you're coming from a different angle on this because you started out in New Zealand.
Yeah. But, I mean, one point, like what Storm was saying about how, you know, you guys have been, to me, like, I mean, for me, I'm like next generation compared to Adam, Storm and Andre. These are three people, and yourself, Baileyan. You guys are actually people that really influenced me, like, long before you knew who I was. Definitely, I knew who you were. And that's the strength of drum and bass and why, for me particularly, I'm excited to be a part of this forum. I'm really stoked to have been invited because, you know, I'm coming from the perspective, I'm from the other side of the world, but I feel very at home here, especially in the drum and bass scene. I've been welcomed by pretty much everybody within the drum and bass who was already established, which is a very big deal. But secondly, I really want to point out that why drum and bass should be celebrated is that it is such a worldwide thing and it really has saturated, like, the music market on a completely different level to anything else that I've ever been involved in or heard before. And, you know, that's amazing. Before like, mainstream radio over here was playing drum and bass on the radio, we were listening to it and dancing to it at raves in New Zealand.
Mm.
And so what it created was, it created this feeling of being a part of something that, even though it was happening on the other side of the world by people who lived very different lives to us, in New Zealand, we, you know, this very isolated little country on the other side of the world, we felt like we were part of something really special that you guys were creating. And so, you know, especially for me to have then been able to infiltrate that scene in, you know, in a really exciting way, that for me has definitely been a highlight for me in my lifetime, you know.
And being able to use that to springboard off of
absolutely
what you're doing right now.
And, you know, like, making, in terms of making tunes, like Shy saying, when he was first making tunes, he didn't, you know, you didn't really know what you were doing. Well, it was kind of the same for me, you know, because I'm like, I knew the first time I ever saw an MC, I mean, I grew up on listening to hip hop and rock.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get into drum and bass until 1996. So I was relatively late compared to the rest of you. So I grew up listening to different music and being influenced by different music. But then when I saw drum and bass, I was like, wow, this is so exciting and it's so new. And then the first time I ever saw an MC was Justice.
Mm.
And he smashed it. He came out and just rinsed it. And I was like, I want to be like him, but obviously I'm nothing like him. So how can I be like him and get into this music and do something that's really original and fresh, yet still, you know, be accepted as part of the scene? So when I was making stuff with Ronnie, I mean, we didn't know what we were making. We were just like, he just wanted to make a record for an MC, a woman, you know.
For some reason, Bristol always kept the essence of you know, that's kind of what it is about. They kind of went in the studio sometimes. Well, I wasn't there, but I've heard.
Well, I told you about
it. That they would go in and it's like they get on a vibe and they just roll that out as a record. And those are usually the ones that are the best ones.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of key moments in drum and bass. Adam F., maybe you have a few that you can remember that really meant a lot to you, like as someone, you know, like being to be, you know, a moment, a proud moment, drum and bass, maybe.
I mean, you know, going right back to days of Blue Note and Metalheads and those kind of moments. I mean, key moments for me were being inspired by actually going to a particular spot, which had a particular atmosphere. And that was actually that club and that night there is what inspired me to make Metropolis. Going down in that kind of razor's edge sound and atmosphere and bite that Metalheads had at the time, and that just the whole energy, and it wasn't just a club for the ravers. All the artists were there, you know, in the audience were all of you guys, and everybody went there to hear what new music was going to come through. And I remember going home thinking, I really want to make a tune for that particular atmosphere, and that's what inspired.
That's a lot of the producers that went down there, did.
But I do think in drum and bass, we have created a really fantastic, like, familial community between us. You know, I think it doesn't matter where we go in the world, you know, maybe you're not the greatest friends with that person or that person, but we're all on the same side, I think, when it comes to what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we're kind of, what we believe in, you know.
It's true, but let me read this text out. This is from 404. It says, DMB should stay on the back burner and not hit the commercial front, as everything that does soon fades away. The point
I think we've had some commercial success.
Yes, we have.
And I still think we've managed to keep a certain amount of undergroundness as well. I mean, I still don't think that, you know, when people made big albums, I say for example, Timeless was a really big album, but I don't think Goldie sat down and thought,
I want to make this mainstream,
a commercial drum and bass album.
What I'm thinking is that sometimes that the real purists, not that any of us aren't, but sometimes they're like, you know, we want more recognition for drum and bass, but yet if something hits the charts, or they're like, oh, it's selling out, but still it's kind of forwarding our music to people who haven't heard it before.
Yeah.
I think what people need to realise is that a lot of this is out of our control as well. It's like, you know, a lot of mainstream radio and television, they decide what they think is hot, and they're like, oh, it's going to be this week and that this week. And often we don't have any control over whether or not our tunes become commercial or successful. You know, obviously we can do what we can to ensure that, you know, we all want to sell records, we all want people to listen and dance to our records, but this isn't something you can completely have control over. So it's, you know, it's sometimes not as cut and dried as it may seem.
But I respect people like Hype, who I'm sure in his own view feels that he does have control over that and will keep to a set regime and keep it.
Oh, completely. Like, but if that, somebody, you know what I mean? If somebody on Radio 1 decides that they want to make his tune on the A-list, whether or not he chooses to dispute that, I doubt that that's going to come into it. I mean, if they want to play it, they'll play it. If it becomes big, it becomes big. You never know what people are going to latch onto and what's going to be the next big thing. You just don't. Well, you can't predict it.
As far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, Hype was the first person that I heard of who actually turned down the majors and said, no, I want to keep this for myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Hype's still running strong.
Well, in that sense, yes, you can have control in that sense. But what I'm saying is it's not always as simple as people think, oh, drum and bass should stay on the back burner. You can do certain things and take certain steps to have quality control of your own stuff that you're putting out. But what I'm saying, if somebody decides that is going to be hot, you know, and whether it's word of mouth or it becomes big on the underground or it becomes big on YouTube, you don't always have a choice in that. You know, that is the beauty and the downfall of technology today.
Let me ask Shy Fix. Oh, you were about to say something anyway.
Yeah,
I don't think
it changes anything. I mean, I've had, like, Shake Your Body that went top 10.
Right.
And then I put out tunes that probably wouldn't even break even, do you know what I mean? It just beats and edit, highly edited beats. It's like, I don't know.
So what does it matter?
Yeah, what I normally find is when then this tune's like Shake Your Body is an LKs or whatever, you see a whole new crew of people coming into the scene,
yeah,
checking
and that's
it out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and then they figure out what kind of style they like, you know, and then you'll see them at Heads or wherever. You know, it just brings in new people, and then they figure out for themselves what kind of style they like.
Mm. Big shout to the 034 who texted in to say, Sir Bailey, DMB holds its own. It doesn't need no advert. The beats do the talking. Looking forward to the show.
Yeah, but I just feel with that, we would like to maybe feel that this country is proud of what we've achieved. Exactly. Because
absolutely.
We've created careers globally, you know, not just in this country. And I sometimes feel that, as you're saying, Tali, the media wants to know what's hot right now. But what is the harm of keeping somebody drum and bass in there? You keep a techno person in there, you keep a house person in there, a garage person. Where's the drum and bass?
Hey, this is my whole thing. This is my whole thing. We're like a constant ongoing story of success. Let's talk about Kuala Lumpur, let's talk about Hawaii, let's talk about Brazil, let's talk about Moscow. We can reel off tons and tons of names where drum and bass has a reach to, but still the UK,
you know, and a lot of other scenes, really, you know, I've been travelling with a few techno DJs recently and they say that is the beauty of our scene, that we have a really close connection with each other. And I think that's why we build such a good foundation, because we worked really hard in the beginning to try and break something that people told us was a bit crazy.
And from the thing that was originally, it was originally about, was music and labels. From that, people have now, you know, we've got our own magazines, we've got our own clothing labels, we have our own radio shows, our own agencies, you know, everybody has got, you can do something within drum and bass, you know, if you look, there's connections everywhere, and that's fantastic. You know, that we've created our own community,
because to be honest, with Goldie's album I worked like really closely with London Records, and to be quite honest, they taught me a lot about how to promote. And you know, from an underground point of view, we felt we were always doing as much promotion as we could, but I learned another ball game with those people. You know, and I felt after that experience working with them, I had, you know, much more capabilities to be able to push the label even further.
I want to ask Adam something quickly, because obviously having worked with huge hip-hop artists, I know the story about you waiting outside, you know, studios, waiting to, you know, speak to these guys and give them your demos. And I want to know right now the comparison between making it successful in drum and bass and making it big in hip-hop. Is it more of an uphill struggle? Or which one is more of the uphill struggle for you?
It's just about making the music, to be honest. I took the same approach. When I first made drum and bass, it was just a chance for me to just fuse all the different things that I liked into it, no matter what it was. There was no formula to it. And with the hip-hop, it was like, I really like film score stuff. And when I made the Smash On It track for Redman, it was just a crazy idea that I just wanted to try something. And that's what it was for me. There was no more of an uphill battle in either. I mean, I was just trying to make the music, and if it got somewhere, it got somewhere. And but obviously, I guess, you know, now, you know, look at producers like Chasing Status, and who are working with, you know, in that world of sort of the more R&B hip hop kind of artists. And I was doing that 10 years ago, and I guess what I have seen is in more recent times is that it's been more of a melting pot of genres and open-mindedness for you know, producers and artists to work with each other wherever you're from in the world.
Okay, well, anyone who's just locked into this and is wondering what's going on, there's a lot of talking, who are these people? We've got Adam F, Storm, Shyfex, MC Tali at the table having a conversation, really, about drum and bass. You know, what can I say?
But I think after the back of Adam, you know, I watched an interview from LL Cool J, and he, you know, one of my proudest moments was when he said, you know, before working with Adam, he didn't understand that you could create tension with just noise and sound.
Wow, did he say that?
Yeah, and that's Adam
amazing.
Had taught him. You know what I mean? He said, you know, before I always felt there had to be a vocal, or he said, but this guy creates, you know, amazing emotions with just sound and how he draws them out. And I thought that is what drum and bass people do. It's a lot of emotions very quickly in a drum and bass track.
It was definitely nice to be able to just use the influences I had from drum and bass and to not be scared to just try that in another style of music, just other stuff that I like, and then it's to see it accepted. And then obviously 10 years later now, seeing everybody else or other people doing that and it being successful, it's awesome to see that drum and bass has been the influence of that.
Well, let's play everyone right now an example of a well-known track in drum and bass that we're all going to know as soon as it comes on. It's by Shyfex and T-Power.
Bop.
Not the one you think. Shake Your Body.
Yeah,
man.
On the corner of the dance floor, and the way you look, you look so fine. But there's a problem. so just let it go. Relax your mind.
We got to be afraid who's watching.
Oh, no.
If you can't believe, it's just behind. Just got to hand your business on the floor. Come on, let your body dance with mine. Shake your body.
Cause you know the vibe is what you make it. Twist it, stomp it, bounce it, shake it. Cause you know the vibe is what you make it. Twist it, stomp it, bounce it, shake it. Cause you know the vibe is what you make it. Twist it, stomp it, bounce it, shake it. Cause you know the vibe is what you make it. Shake your body.
It's a big tune, definitely. It's the Radio 1, the BBC Radio 1, and One Extra Drum and Bass Takeover. 10 hours of non-stop drum and bass here on One Extra. We're having a discussion now with Adam F, Storm, Shifex, Tali, about drum and bass generally and other things as well. If you want to check out the live stream on Ustream, make sure you go to the website, please. bbc.co.uk/OneExtra. Click on the DMB Takeover. Click on the link. It's right there. As long as the Ustream website is running properly. Yeah. Right, we're going to move to another subject right now. I want to talk about women in drum and bass. Very important topic, especially with Storm and Tali at the table, who have probably seen things probably a little bit differently to myself and Shifex and Adam coming up as female artists in this scene. Now, the question here really is, are there enough prolific women in drum and bass?
Definitely not, no.
No. The answer would be a no to that.
They're fighting for the mics.
No. Jane, you go.
Well, there isn't. And I mean, I think, you know, when me and Kemi first started years ago, you know, they would try to kind of throw these female nights together. Mm. And it was a little bit thin on the ground, really. You know, there wasn't kind of enough of us to do that.
Mm.
And I'm, you know, personally, I think the reason that women maybe didn't get into DJing at that time was that guys were getting together in communities, getting a set of decks together, you know, rolling out in their bedrooms, you know what I mean? And they started pirate stations, and I think girls are not always technically that minded. I mean, for me and Kemi, when we first went to Rage and heard Groove Rider and Fabio, which to us was our religion for the next I don't know how many years, it was kind of like, for us, we were just like, okay, I'm in this music, how do I be with it 24/7? So we were like, okay, do we make this music or do we DJ? What's the cheapest thing right now, you know, to do? Seriously, that's how it was for us, do you know what I mean? You know, weren't earning a lot of money, and, you know, so we decided DJing was the thing for us, and then we got a chance to make a tune with Reinforced, and even thought then we would like to buy our own equipment to do that. So right about now, it's DJing or nothing, do you know what I mean? And I just think my love and my passion, that's what got me into it, and that's what made me determined that I felt... I've always said this to people, if you feel you've got something to offer to this scene and you're prepared to work hard for it and give it your all, you can be successful and give it a try. You know, I know it's difficult for people to still believe that, and that might sound a little bit corny, but there's still ways of trying to get through this thing, you know what I mean?
Did you feel encouraged by maybe any other female DJs that were around at the time, that they're doing it, so
well,
I
you know, every time a female DJ meets another female DJ, you just give them the biggest hug, and you maybe
I'm another short person.
Yeah. kind of understand their struggle, the how they've got to do even maybe the warm-up for that set. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And, you know, they want you to listen to them. And, you know, I think, hopefully, I've always tried to encourage women DJing. Through the last 10 years, there's a lot more of them, but there's still not being the chance... given the chance that the guys are always given.
But you know, you two have got, sorry to interrupt,
go on, Adam, so
you,
go ahead.
You two have got an exceptional talent in obviously you as a performer, do you know what I mean? And that's that, when you came through at the time when you did, is what has made you shine and what has made everybody love you and want to be a part of what you do for so many years. And equally, you as a DJ Storm, do you know what I mean? And the time when you started and pioneering what you truly believed in and wanted to play as a DJ. And that's what's made it such a special career for you guys. And when we were saying a little bit outside about, you know, why don't you guys book more female DJs? I mean, I'm not a promoter, obviously, myself, and the nights that I do generally that I organise booking are label nights, so it's who we put out. But I don't know about you, Shy, but I will get through hundreds of tunes. My aim's on my Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, whatever, and I can't say that I don't remember the last time that someone hit me up and said, hey, this is my name and it's a girl's name and they're sending me a tune. Mm, yeah. So I'm not getting the music in the first place. I'm not giving someone a chance.
So then you have to ask the question, why are the women not making drum and bass tunes?
When we started, the whole thing was you found atmosphere or something when it first started, or you would talk to friends about raves and you would make a mixtape. You know, remember tapes? And you would make a mixtape and you would find as many addresses and you would phone up those people and say hi. I mean, we chose the names Chemistry and Storm because we didn't think it sounded particularly male or female. Do you know what I mean?
Same with Tali.
Yeah, and it was kind of like we said, well, you know, we're working for these DJs, we've got a mixtape to send you. And that's literally how we got our first gigs. But I mean, we were religious. It was every single week. And I think we got that from Randall bringing us mixtapes every single week. Yeah. You know, we were like dedicated to that. And I think... yeah, you are going to have to work a little bit harder if you're a female in what is a male-dominated scene.
But, yeah, but
I think I've always had great support from the guys, you know, and now most of the guys are like my friends, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't think there's actually, from our own scene, there's negativity from the people that, you know, I just think it's a question of maybe promoters trusting that we have that ability sometimes. That's what I feel anyway. You know what I mean?
I'm just reading a text here from somebody whose number ends in 567 saying, many people make up the scene that is DMB from the early days, 92, 93, are still present and pushing the boundaries. It doesn't matter what sex you are, it's all about the music. I cannot stress this enough. Wow. I would have to say I disagree because I do think it does matter what sex you are and in some areas because, for example, like if... well, the way I see it is that if you have something, if you're playing a certain type of music or you have a certain type of DJ in front of you and you see it enough, it starts to become the norm. The first time I ever saw you, Jane, Kimmy and Storm came to New Zealand, and I'm sure you can remember the first time you played in Christchurch at the ministry, the whole front row was all us girls. We were so enamored to have these women in the building, strong women who spoke to us afterwards, took the time to sign our flyers. And I remember you even saying to me, Jane, you were like, if you wrote, Kimmy wrote All Bad Girls Big Up, and you said to me, if you really want to do something and you're prepared to work hard, then you can do it, sweetheart. I remember you saying that to me, and that really stuck with me. And the thing is, if you don't see women out there doing it, as a female, you are intimidated. You think, well, I don't see women doing it, I don't hear women making tunes, then I feel intimidated. I feel like maybe there isn't a place for me. If you're seeing women DJ, they're being booked to play parties, and I mean, I go to raves, I see some guy I don't know who's been DJing for maybe like a year playing in room 2. Okay, there are enough women around who have been playing a lot longer that you could book. I mean, you have to ask yourselves, are you being sexist as promoters? Maybe you don't think you are, but if you look really closely, you know, what is stopping you? Oh, you don't get tunes from girls sent to you, Adam, but that doesn't mean you don't know that there's women out there DJing. You know there's women out there MCing or trying to. And, you know, when I first started out, you know, people, even to this day, I would look at something on YouTube, like maybe a video that I've done, and some guy's written under it, I know for a fact that she slept her way to the top. And you know, and I'm like, oh, you know this for a fact, do you? Yeah, I've been in this country for nearly 10 years, and I can tell you now, I didn't have to do anything of the sort to get where I got. I got here because I was prepared to work hard and put up with the rubbish that is often thrown at me.
But the point of what you're saying is that no matter, and kind of what the person who sent the text was saying, no matter who you are, if you've got the belief.
Yeah, that shouldn't matter.
That should come through. But one thing you said a minute ago, my chance to promote people is mainly DJing, playing music. I mean, maybe I can produce, work with somebody and produce them. But what I was saying is that I don't get the music to be given the chance to promote it. That I remember that it's getting loads of music. So it'd be good if people are out there.
Music is even more rare. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I haven't said that. I've signed an artist called B Traits.
Yeah.
From. From Vancouver, who's a heavy DJ, and but at the same time, there's nothing I could do with a DJ on a label because you know I run a label. But she played me a few beats which are running, which are heavy, and then I signed on the strength of those tunes. But like Adam said,
but if you had a night, you would book her, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. She does play out on nights. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure those guys were down at one of our Fabric nights.
Yeah,
a while ago, got them to MC. So. We're doing our thing. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I'm saying there isn't that.
The music, you know, we put it out and we play it.
Yeah.
You
know? I think there are still a lot of negative attitudes out there, especially on forums. I mean, I don't watch forums anymore because I just find it just ridiculous. Like, you do get a lot of stuff on there. And if you're a girl and you go on there and you read that kind of thing, I'm sorry, but that is going to, one, disgust you, and two, put you off. Why would you want to be a part of a scene where are talking
well,
like that?
Well, it's like, for example, when we did, you know, I run a night called Feline, which is basically a selection of female DJs and MCs, and everybody who plays at Feline is female. And I started it about 4 years ago now, and we did Drum and Bass Arena for the first time ever. And yes, we had some really dirty sexual comments.
Yeah.
And, you know, the girls were getting a bit distressed by it, but I said, you know, just let it roll over you. You know,
Why should we even have to have that kind of rubbish, man?
Does it, you know...
If
you let it get to you, then...
Well, if I'd let it get to me, I wouldn't be going still now.
I must say, on the forum tip, that happens to us guys as well, you know what I mean? Like, there are people that... But you're not going to like make sexual comments and stuff, but we do get slated. There are just people that just get a kick out of doing that,
unfortunately. But it's like Goldie said, always love the haters as much as you love the positive people, because you know what? They're sitting at home talking about you.
Big shout out to the 158 who sent in a text saying, as a woman in a DMB scene, it's hard to get involved in what seems like a man's world, as much as I hate to say it. They just don't take you seriously enough. It's who you know and what you know, as it is. In most of the music industry. That's from Jenny. Thank you very much, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
Storm?
Yeah, like, for example, you know, like I was saying, why we chose our names not to be, you know, female. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And we didn't tell the promoter a female was turning up. And one of the first big gigs we got in London, when we turned up, the guy was like, oh, you're women. Where's your white gloves? And we just, you know...
What?
He didn't
mean... supposed to be mime artists.
Yeah, which was a rave thing, right? You know what I mean? And, you know, at the end of the day... I have to say, you have to rise above those kind of comments. It's like Fabric, you know, when I was first working at Fabric, I found it very difficult to get in. They wouldn't actually believe I was a DJ.
Oh, I still get that. I still get that, especially because I don't carry records. So, you know, I even look less like I'm supposed to be there.
But, you know, now they know me and, you know, it's easy now. But that does, that definitely does happen. But I do think to a certain extent, the negative stuff, you've got to, if you still want to make it and still be part, you must admit.
So that's our advice.
We've got to ride above a lot.
That's our advice to you, woman.
Yeah.
I think Adam was about to say something.
No, it was just turning it into something positive then for up and coming female producers, DJs, and artists. Having gone through what you guys have been through and what you've seen, what would you say was the number one thing that is just a positive thing that people
can
take
I think
away?
As Jane is saying, you do have to rise above it and you will have to develop a thick skin. But, you know, at the same time, I'm still a very sensitive person. Like, I've never been a BITCH, hopefully, to anyone. And I think...
work for you? You said Storm said to you believe in it, sweetheart.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Exactly. But the other thing was is that I have a lot of... I'm really determined anyway. So I think... And the other thing was, I didn't want to be somebody that was really determined but not really good. So I really honed my craft. I listened to a lot of MCs that I admired. I asked people who knew about what I was doing in the scene. I asked them what they thought I could do to improve. And I was lucky. I had a lot of support. I had a lot of support from Bailey. I've had a lot of support from Shy since the start. And, you know, all I would say out there is that if you really think that you've got something special, develop that, hone it, become something that's unique. We are lucky in that there aren't a lot of women, therefore we do stand out. Yeah. That is something that is really beneficial. But it isn't enough to just be, you know, to be special. You have to be extra special and be prepared to really put in the time. And there are people out there that will believe you and that will take you seriously. You know, Ronnie took me seriously. Bailey took me seriously. Brian G took me seriously.
Well, Goldie took me and Kemi seriously.
Exactly.
And taught us so much, you know.
And I would like to think that, Jane, you and I have, like, we've proved to people that, you know, you can be a woman and be successful in drum and bass. So it isn't all bad.
No.
I just wanted to get
but
that
you have
little...
to be prepared to be a bit tougher.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that little point about the
big shout to the 333. It says, hi, Jane, that would be you, Storm. I'm a female DJ, and I had the privilege of warming up for you and Kemi back in the day in Banbury, Oxford. I never made it as big as you, but respect to you still. That's coming from Alicia.
Oh, thank you very much, Alicia. It's a shame you're not still there.
Oh, by the way, let me just say that anyone who wants to get involved or send any comments in or whatever, you can text us on 81199. Big shout out to everybody on Ustream as well watching live. Hello. If you want a link to that, check out the website bbc.co.uk/onextra. It's the DMB takeover. This is a discussion around the table with ShyFX, Adam F, Storm and Tali. Got a text there from 90. It says, Tali, keep talking, you have the most sexiest voice.
How dare you be so sexist.
Well, I think with that we should go into a Tali track, the one that I know you for. Lyric on my lip, produced by the mighty Ronnie Size.
Big up, Bristol.
Night, I'm kept awake by me, thinking of lyrics constantly. I'm listening to my favorite tune, rehearsing versing around the room. It helps me up, won't let me sleep, and then I know that I'm in deep. For nothing keeps me from my bed, except for these thoughts inside my head. This music plagues me all the time, and simple words become a rhyme. It freaks me how this music can so influence my life and plan. Directions that I wanna take. Can't believe that I, without the sound, could once get by. I've been infected by the vibe. For this break, I live inside. It's in my blood, it's in my heart. Can't be no end without a start. At first, it's just a wicked tune brought up by the DJ. But then the other elements come into play. 'Cause I got a lyric on my lip. Once it starts, it just don't quit. Can't stop once I've begun.
once again, that is Jenna G, Just Hold On. That's for V Records. Big up Brian G, Moses, Shirley, everyone who represents over there at V Records. This is the Radio 1. Hey, sorry? Before that,
we had Tali.
Well, I announced it already.
Lyric on My Lip, that was produced by Ronnie Size and came out on Full Cycle in 2004.
Thank you very much.
Catalogue number?
It's the Radio 1 and 1 Extra Drum and Bass Takeover, live on Radio 1 and 1 Extra, of course. And we're live on YouTube as well. Check the link, bbc.co.uk/1extra. Big up Jay Disabel Fontaine. He's going to have his own take on this. He runs a blog called Rubber Dub. Dub.com. Check that out to see what he says about this. You busy over there, sir?
Big ups, Jay.
Good man. Oh, he's on the Twitter right now? Okay, cool. What's your Twitter?
Jay at backtrack decibel. No, twitter.com/backtrackdecibel.
You better step to the mic and say
backtrack decibel. I'll take that.
It's a twitter.com/backtrackdecibel.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. We are about to move on to our next subject. Anyone listening right now, feel free to text in on 81199 or email bailey@bbc.co.uk because we're going to talk about the DJ art versus showmanship. And right now the question is, does the popularity of laptop DJs mean the end of the art of DJing? Yeah. Now. But you see, I mean, well, times have definitely changed. I mean, you had Randall back in the day. Everyone wanted to hear two big tracks blended as one to make an even bigger track. Now, we've had a recent incident with somebody who played a pre-recorded mix and was stood there clapping and, you know, maybe it's more about that now. Maybe the art of mixing just doesn't matter anymore.
I think it does. Personally, I think it does. Mm. I think you're there to entertain. Mm. And, you know, I suppose that's the one thing that drum and bass really brought was the technique of mix and blend.
Mm.
And, you know, that for me, that absolutely turns me on. If I find two tracks that, you know, work together musically, the bass lines are working together, the chords are working together, that really turns me on. And I would never most probably change the way that I DJ. You know, for me, I grew up on people like Randall and Andy. And, yeah, you know, right in front of me, the DJ is live remixing tracks that I know. Mm. Yeah. And making something really special in the middle for me personally. Mm. So I enjoy a DJ who mixes it up.
But you got a good, great showman like DJ Mark. He puts on a great show, jumps around, looks live. He gives you energy when you watch him doing that.
But he's a great DJ as well. Technically, he's a great DJ.
But I mean, if you don't get to see that, the DJ jumping around, he's just in the zone, looking down at the mixer, concentrating his mixing. Are you bothered by that? Do you want to see someone jumping around?
No, personally, no.
No. No.
I mean, you're quite a static DJ, B. You know, when you mix, you know,
focus.
You're saying no, because when he came to New Zealand, I mean, for me personally, as like a raver who's seen all you guys DJ, you know, before I even knew you, you don't all just stand there. Like, you all will smile. And I mean, yeah, there's nothing worse than a DJ who is just looking down. I mean, if you're in the zone, I get it. But at the end of the day, it's kind of boring for us as well. If we think you're having a good time and you're giving us good energy by smiling at us and looking at us every now and then and clapping your hands, then that makes the raver feel connected.
Okay. But some people can't do that naturally, though. I can't do that naturally. I'm just quite shy, really.
Oh, come on. You grin at the girls and shake your little dreads round.
You're out, girl. We're not even that.
No, people use the term laptop DJs, but people like things like Savat will mix the tunes for you and it doesn't. Do you know what I mean? You've got the collection of tunes in front of you, but you still have to be able to beat match
whatever. Other mixing systems are available, everybody.
I know. But when you say laptop, I mean, I use Serato. So, you know, when I step into a club, what are people going to just assume that I'm using Ableton and it's there mixing itself or beat matching?
Or could after this incident. I suppose that's the only thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they see you physically DJing, and you are physically DJing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So, you know, I understand what you're saying, but
there was no doubt in the past, was there? That was all there. And I remember when I first started making tunes for people to play, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed as though 18 out of 20 DJs were actually DJs, and there were maybe two producer DJs.
Right. Well, we had a defined line. You were a producer or you were a DJ, kind of back in the day when I first started, you know, and I had all these producers that gave me tunes, and then after a while, they started DJing as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But some came through as DJs, you know?
I think maybe the door started to close on those who want to come through as purely as DJs. And if, I think promoters as well, if you didn't have a record on the shelf, then you weren't really going to get booked.
That was the emergence of the producer DJ.
Exactly.
You know, which came...
Exactly. What I'm worried about is, a while ago, I think it was like 97, I'm not going to name the DJ, I went to Germany to play, and he'd just rose to fame as a DJ, a producer DJ. He played after me as the main DJ and absolutely wrecked his set, awful mixing, everything. What I'm worried about is that these people are going to go to new territories where we don't go. They might go on their own, and anyone that might be hearing that sound for the first time might go, this is a load of rubbish.
Well, it's the same. I see that a lot as well. You know, you're praying after the hot producer DJ, you know what I mean? And within three tunes, you've just brought the energy back as a DJ, and the mix and the hype and, you know, the excitement of that. It seems to work better for a crowd, you know, because I think... And I'm not talking... I know you're a producer DJ, but you were kind of DJing already, weren't you? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I see it as a different thing. And I think a lot of producers playing their own tracks, it's cool, but I think to make a rise and fall as a drum and bass set does and to create drama, you actually have to be a really good DJ to play tunes that are kind of the same genre and make a story.
Well, you know what I found that definitely changed, and I think it may have changed, but again, everyone's got their own opinions, but... When I made tunes back in the day, I didn't think, when I made the drum and bass stuff in the early days, I didn't think about what the arrangement needed to be. And there'd be like Metropolis starts with a minute string intro. I didn't think, oh, you're not going to be able to mix that. Yeah. No hi-hat, no nothing. Yeah. And then other bits have got weird things in it. And what was nice is that it would be the DJ's job to make it work.
Yeah.
And I've found that what's perhaps changed is the way music's slightly been made, not necessarily in a good or bad way or anything, but just what I've observed is that because producers have started DJing and been more aware of the fact that arrangements and you know, styles have changed, that perhaps they've thought more about the arrangement, whereas back then, you know, Inner City Life is not like it was that mix friendly, do you know what I mean?
But it's like Fotek, you know, doing that half a bar thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And after a while, he was like, you know, I'd be like, Rupert.
I don't know what you mean. What's the half a bar thing?
Where you drop the tune at half a bar instead of kind of...
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I was like, Rupert, that's kind of not... You know, and with Rupert, his first few tunes, it was kind of... You had to make it work. You had to almost count as a DJ to be able to make the drops right. And
so if he's doing something that you hadn't heard before, is that showmanship of a kind as well? Because he's not only being technically really good, but he's doing something that nobody else is doing. So he's creating his own little hype.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That's showmanship too.
And I think as a DJ, I'm quite into that because I don't mind working it out and making it work. Do you know what I mean? In fact, that quite, you know, if there's a difficult tune I've got that I want to play, I've got to kind of put it in my set somewhere.
How many people do you honestly think in a crowd, there's 2,000 people there, how many people do you think are observing whether a DJ's playing vinyl, CD, Serato, and whether the tunes are all mixed together or whatever? And how many people do you think actually care or just want to
good
have
tunes.
Good tunes coming out?
Do you think there are some who get annoyed and say, you know, Storm, have you got any vinyl? Why are you not playing off vinyl?
But if you're up on a stage and...
But it's like...
And
I think,
they can't see anyway.
I think one thing that Cross said as well, you know, it doesn't matter what format you're using, you're still playing music.
The only thing I'd say is you can't play a pre-mix set because you need to be able to read the crowd and
absolutely
adjust to the crowd in front of
you. I totally agree. Exactly.
So with all the other points, you definitely can't play a pre-mix set.
I mean, well, on that tip, sorry, Tali,
it's cool.
A big shout out to Mr. Marcus who texted in to say the mix has got to be live to suit the mood of the crowd.
Right,
you know?
There you go.
It's from Manchester. Thank you very much.
I think the whole pre-recording mix is completely out of order because you're earning money for absolutely nothing. Do you know what I mean? That's my opinion.
Also, I want to say, anyone that's texted in, thank you very much. We're not going to be able to get through all these. There's just millions and millions of texts here. But I want to send a shout out to Dave in Devon, Ben from Taunton, Swell in Shrewsbury. Big shout out to the 832. Big shout out to Sparky D, Sammy D, and Andy. Big shout out to Dan from Belfast. Big shout out to the 429. Big shout out to the 389. Everyone who's been sending us, we've got piles and piles of paper here. Love you to death. By the way, you still can text him. It's 81199. I'm not used to that because I'm used to doing one extra text. You can email Bailey at bbc.co.uk as well. Let's not forget that. The art of DJing, my gosh. You know, some people maybe are just a bit old school on this. Maybe some people are like me, the pre-mixed thing is the future. And we should just be looking at that as
gosh,
a sort of PA.
No.
Because that's the vibe of this music. You know, it's like Shai's saying, you can't, you know, you might have what, 100 tunes in your bag, and you're not, you know, even sometimes I'm like, and it depends what the DJ's playing before you as well, and how, you know, the crowd is reacting, and you might have had a track you thought you were going to start with, and now you might have five, and now you're thinking, okay, which one am I going to go with that, do you know what I mean? So I still think the art of DJ, well, I'm obviously still very much obsessed with DJing, do you know what I mean? I DJ pretty much every single day and I love it, do you know what I mean? And, you know, maybe everybody else is, you know, maybe not as into it as I am, but, you know, I still think the art of being a great DJ is something worth respecting.
If people want to use the technology to beat match for them or whatever, so be it. It's just it's what it is, do you know what I mean? My take on it is as long as they're selecting and playing tunes for the crowd and it's good music, That's what's important to
me. Tali has her finger up.
I was just going to say, like, I'm not trying to defend what that guy did, what that certain DJ did, but I feel kind of bad for them as well, because I just think, like, there is there's a lot of pressure on you guys to be good mixers and have good tunes and put on a performance. I mean, you know, just speaking personally, I just think, like, I remember the first time that I saw High Contrast play, one of the first times I ever emceed with him, and, you know, he was like, I'm not a good DJ, and he was really nervous, and he felt like this immense pressure, and I was like, at the end of the day, bro, just let your tunes do the talking.
Sorry, I'm going to have to stop everybody there. Can you believe the time's already 5 to 10? We've got to get out of here. You know what I mean? What can I say? Thanks to everybody
that went
really fast. Big shout out to everybody who texted and emailed in. Love you to death. Really appreciate that. Up next, it's BBC Radio 1 Stories, the history of drum and bass with Jaguar Skills. If you're new into drum and bass, well, this is the place where you check out what the big tunes were. Apparently, there's loads and loads of tracks in the mix. This Jaguar Skills guy has definitely got skills. His mix will be available to download online from 10 o'clock. bbc.co.uk/one actually is the website. And I believe on the Ustream, after we're done here, we're going to do in some questions and answers on the Ustream website with our panellists today. Thank you very much, Adam F, Storm, ShyFX, and Tali.
Thank you.
Thank you. 4 minutes left. I hope we inspired some people out there with what we said. I really do.
I mean, there's a lot to be spoken about. Maybe we should do 2 hours next time.
Yeah.
We're going to go out on a track by Adam F. So,
tick, 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 tick. Tick, 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 tick.
tick, 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 tick.
Radio 1 and BBC Radio 1 Extra. Drum and bass takeover. Takeover. Takeover.
In my veins, and my heart feels no more pain. I know I'll be on my way to heaven's door. I know when I'm not, I'll be hoping I don't drop to a